Time to talk footy now with Rodney Eade on this Tuesday. He joins us every Tuesday morning. Rocket, good morning.
Morning, Adam. And Adam, how are you going, boys? Going well?
No, going very well. Going a lot better than a few clubs at the moment.
It's sort of the season, isn't it? That's sort of got that demarcation line now. It's probably the top 11, top 10, and then the rest, the 8, have sort of dropped away, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure where to start. We may as well start with Carlton, because we were talking about them at the top of the program, just about where they're at. I know they're a bit of a theme at the moment, but things aren't getting any better for David Teague and the Blues. What did you see on Saturday night that maybe disappointed you the most?
The thing that disappointed me the most, just digress, I hear a lot of so-called experts saying, oh, their system. Your offensive system only works if you've got heat on the ball and you work hard up the ground. And what I'm seeing is a genuine lack of intensity and urgency to put pressure on the ball carrier, which is basic stuff. Now, there was one highlight that showed where Josh Kelly's got the ball in the centre bounce and all the Carlton players have spread away and he's just been able to do a U-turn and had metres of space. You never see that in AFL. You never see that. You see the guy with the footy always get some heat on him. So you can, people don't criticise the Giants for their system, but they go one-on-one. They don't have this defensive system that all the experts think that every club should have. They play one-on-one and they defend quite well. So whatever system you have depends on your pressure on your ball carrier and your preparedness to work hard. The number of uncontested marks is a real blight on Carlton, what the Giants had, 138. So therefore, they're not working. They're just jogging. Handing over responsibility. So that, for me, was really mind-blowing and obvious that doesn't take talent. That doesn't take a system. That just takes players to be prepared to work hard to try and tackle and put pressure on the bloke with the footy.
So Rocket, you can teach skill, you can teach strategy, you can teach tactics, set up, all that. How does a coach teach attitude?
Well, you train it to start with. This is the way we want to play. So you do some contesting drills. You do drills with the opposition at the ball. You're saying to come forward to defend. You don't collapse. You don't go backwards. They get a goal out of the back. So you've got to pressure the ball carrier. And you put it as one of your non-negotiables. It's like turning up for training on time as a non-negotiable. Doing extras is a non-negotiable. Putting pressure on the ball carrier and going up trying to tackle and harass and hump, that's it. It doesn't take talent. And you know, Rammer, you've played. That does not take talent. Yep. Whether it's Patrick Dangerfield or Dusty Martin or whether it's a first-game player, you can still do that. It does not take talent. And I saw en masse, there's probably 14 or 15 of the Carlton players who just didn't do that.
So how would have you handled the situation at half-time being the coach? There was 12 players without a tackle. So it was clear as day what they needed to do in that second half. Now, albeit they got within 12 points, but still they only had 41 tackles for the game. So how would have you handled half-time and those 12 players particularly that hadn't had a tackle?
Well, I think it goes back even before half-time, Rama. I think this has been happening for weeks.
Yeah.
This is a culmination of weeks and weeks and weeks of players not tackling. So right from the start of the season and the way you're training, and you train your ball movement and defensive system, but you also train what you value. And every team does value it, really, is about putting pressure on the opposition. And I think it's a most key stat, even nearly as important, if not more important, than contested ball. You put pressure on the opposition. And if they have haphazard kicks, it helps your defence. If you let them just waltz through, like they did with Whitfield that time and Josh Kelly, they'll be able to hit targets. And so I would have made the thing, this is what we value, this is where we're at, get the players involved, they have a say in all that. But at the end of the day, if you're not going to tackle, you'd want to be playing really good football to stay on the side. And if you're not tackling and you're not playing well, you don't get picked, whoever you are. So therefore, at halftime, it happens again. Okay, well, you probably raised your voice in the previously. You don't need to do that. But this is what we need to fix. And players are put in their, careers or jobs or selection on the line.
Yeah. Sorry, Ramo. I know it's never one thing. There's always a variety of different things. But should this pressure be more on the players than the coach? Or is it the coach's responsibility to get that effort out of them? Don't the leadership group at Carlton have to actually collectively say enough's enough and actually put up a bit more of a fight?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I think it's across the board. I just don't think... I mean, the coach sets the agenda. I mean, they want to criticise coaches for not motivating a team. It's, you know, there's the X's and O's and strategies, as Ram was talking about, but there's also the motivation as well. Coaches get criticised for everything, and it's probably their responsibility in many ways. But you're right. I mean, the modern way footy is prepared, and it's been going for a while, there's a responsibility with players. We're building leadership groups. They're having more responsibility. Players want more responsibility. They want more of a voice. Players want more of a voice. Yeah, we do this, do that, etc. Okay, well, with that comes responsibility and accountability, and nothing's happening. So I think you're right, and I think it's on. But so we don't know what's being said inside the four walls, and that's fine. We can only get a little window of what the coach says post-match and what players are saying, but they're probably obviously going to have the same rhetoric coming out. But it's the actions that speak. So players have got to take some responsibility. They've got to stand up. They've got to grab it as a group and eyeball each other and say, listen, this is not happening. And Patrick Cripps put his hands up. Yeah, I'm not doing this, but okay, you player X and you player Y, this is what we want from you. Mm-hmm. So you're hearing it from your peers. So there is some responsibility there, no doubt.
So in all your experiences, Rocket, and in particularly your time at Sydney and the Western Bulldogs, where you had two really good teams, if you're seeing this as a consistent pattern, are you grabbing those senior players in a room and saying, look, you need to get to the playing group, or are you waiting for the players to come to you to say that? How is David Teague playing this situation at the moment? Is he waiting for a response from his players, or is he trying to drive the response in his players through the senior players, the senior leaders of the team?
Well, it has to be a circuit breaker, and I think if you're waiting all the time, you end up getting the same result of what's happening. I think you've got to go to the players you trust, and also the players in the leadership group, and say, guys, that you've got to drive this. You've got to be able, and hopefully you've had a system in, I keep going back to the word system, a process in place where players talk and you have a review, and there is some challenging conversations. And you know, Rama, what it's like. Yeah. I mean, AFL footy is not a soft environment inside the four walls. And I get a feeling sometimes that with the modern generation, we've got to be nice and give them positive feedback. And well,
fluffy.
It is. That's the feeling I get. But you've got to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And that's because you're being scrutinised every week. You're under the pump in the media, and you find players who are going to not let you down in finals. So to answer your question, I think you actually go to your leadership group. These are the things you've got to find out. You guys have got to drive it. You've got to, because players will listen to players more. And I would think in that situation, you as a coach have already said things over the previous few weeks. Yep. So they're sick of hearing your voice. They're hearing the same thing coming out, even though you might dress it up in different ways. So they're really the leadership group have got to be able to stand up.
So, Rocket, we go all the way back to Friday night, and we look at, from a coaching point of view, the last minute and a half, 2 minutes of the Geelong and Bulldogs game. You look at the way Geelong were able to execute to kick the goal, but you look at the way the Bulldogs weren't able to execute to probably ice the game or lock the ball into that forward line. How do you review that situation with a team that in the Bulldogs that we probably think are good enough to win a premiership this year, but in saying that, they've now failed against probably three of the bigger teams in the competition?
Yeah, it's interesting though. The last couple of minutes, as you said, or minute and a half, you should practice those situations. Goal up, goal down, what do we do? And go over it. So those scenarios actually have been practiced. Because I thought the Dogs could have iced the game a bit better and a bit even a bit earlier. And not criticise the young lad, because he's got a bit of spirit. But young Waitman played on quickly and tried to pass the ball inboard. Turnover, didn't hit the target where probably could pass backwards, you know, spread the ground, play around the boundary, get a boundary throw in. So there's lots of different ways they can do it. It just seems they seem to be playing a little bit more up-tempo than they should have. And I think the rest of the game, so the next minute that played out, I think Geelong would have practiced, but I don't think there was a situation there that you could practice. The ball was alive, so it was just playing footy, but they were staying in the moment. I think it was the experience really of Geelong. They didn't panic. They just stayed in the moment, just hopefully something was going to come about by just keep doing the way that they wanted to play rather than be panicky. And the opposition presented itself and they were able to take it. Smith's pass to Rowan was a good one. It was a good mark because it was under pressure and then be able to kick a good goal. So there's three or four acts there that you needed to execute and they executed it under pressure. Where the Bulldogs hopefully will be able to learn from that because they're still a relatively young side, but they should have been able to ice the game.
Yeah, it was a fascinating finish to that game for obvious reasons. The Gold Coast Suns, your old mob, they're in the news again at the moment. And Tony Cochran was on Fox Footy last night talking about just how hard it is up at the Suns. You've lived that. Is that fair or does it become a bit of a cop-out?
I heard the... I saw the interview. He was more making it hard financially, wasn't he, because of the academies and things like that. Was he? And it was a rugby league heartland. But Sydney Swans have got a rugby league heartland and rugby union. So I think as a start-up club, it's probably difficult in many ways to generate. But some of their matrices are positive. They're getting more kids involved. So that's working. So they're getting some more following. I think it's a bit of a cop-out there because they've got great facilities. The weather's good as for recovery. Players want to be there, as in the lifestyle. But I think the point that he made, which was quite valid, and when he got asked a question, he said, well, we can't go young again or keep going young because we keep on being the youngest team in the competition. And I think that's right. They need to get a balance and they need to recruit played maybe off-field as well, but on-field, some real people with some experience that can protect, because this situation that's happened with the kids, it happens consistently because they've never experienced it before, and there's a whole group of them are young, whether they're fatigued, I know they've had a bye, but mentally, and the season teams know what are not, because the season's a marathon, it's not a sprint, and this is the time of the year where the experience and the cooler heads prevail and the bigger bodies or the bodies that have been through some pre-seasons are able to keep going. And I think it's starting to catch up with them, to be honest.
Because you've experienced this before. I remember one year, particularly when you're at the Suns, you flew out of the blocks and then you get to May and you can't win a game, which has kind of happened. It's been a pattern that's happened a long time for the Suns. Is it just a young team and that's just the reality of it? Or could you see it unfolding? You can't stop it when they're so young. Why is it that it just falls away so quickly?
It was a little bit different that year. That was my second year. We were 3-0, and then lost a couple of close ones, and then got some injuries and fell away. And I think that was a bit more our harder mental edge that we needed to address. My last year we started pretty well, and then got some horrible injury, so it was just and some experienced players. We had a reasonable balance at that stage. We weren't super young, but we just didn't were able to get people on the park, and then just be able to fill away. I think now at the moment they're just a young squad. Now they've got some Ellis and a few other players from other clubs, but they haven't really got a core. You have a look at Geelong. I know they're at the other extreme, and they've got 12 players over 30, but which is probably a bit too far the other way, but having a balance there of some experience and who have got a good leader, so when you meet these situations, you can actually drive it on the footy field, like a Voss and a Hodge. And you're not going to get that type of player, but those players would actually drive the team when you know that they're falling away, and I don't see that at the moment.
Mm. Rocket, thank you very much for your time. As always, we'll do it all again next week.
Thanks, boys. Have a good week.
Thank you very much. Did you win on the weekend, by the way?
Yes, we did. We beat a team that was equal top. It was interesting with Rammer's point because we'd had a couple of... Now, we haven't played for 6 weeks and we'd had a couple of losses to teams below us. And I spoke to the captain and the leadership group about being able to... It's their team, be able to drive it. And we ended up getting the result. But we were able to get some players back this week, which helped. So, as Alan Jeans used to say, if you've got good players, it makes you a good coach.
Yes, yes. There's a few coaches that might be struggling in that department at the moment. We'll catch you next week.
See you, mate.